Hey, it's Matt from Money Lab. I just spent the weekend with a buddy of mine named Sean Ogle, who I'm sure you've heard before if you're a fan of this show or me. We're friends and went on vacation with him. And we were talking about SEO, which is what we normally do. And he brought up something that I had actually never heard of. But as soon as he mentioned it, I immediately knew what it was without him having to explain it. The concept was developed by Glenn, who is Viper Chill. He owns the site detail.com and gaps.com. Somebody who I've mentioned on the show before. I have followed, I want to say that I've been following Viper Chill from like 2008, I think. I know he's been around a while. So I kind of feel, and we've kind of had exchanges on Twitter, but nothing like in depth. But Sean was telling me about his course, which I didn't get. I remember it came out, and I wanted to buy it, and I missed the opportunity, whatever the case was. But Sean had mentioned that he has this concept in the course called Super Pixels. And as soon as he said it, that phrase, I immediately was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then he explained it, and I was like, yep. Got it. And I wrote it. So like I wrote it down in Asana because I wanted to do an episode about it. And I think I'm going to have multiple episodes about it because it is the kind of concept that I've been searching for. And I'm so shocked that this is not talked about more, like publicly. I found out because it's inside a course that I didn't even take, that I don't even have access to. I would love to get into the course and I would love to see it like in detail, but I think I completely understand. The idea is, and what I want to do is kind of briefly touch on the idea, and then I want to brainstorm without seeing any examples. What I could do on Swim University to employ this idea, right? So simply the idea is every single pixel on your website matters, right? It's like every second counts. And if everything matters, thinking of elements on your website or things on your website that from a design perspective, or just from a copy perspective, or some type of like uniqueness, something that stands out, that's like kind of weird. Now, why would you do this? The reason immediately is like, oh, if you do something cool on your website, it gets talked about. This is, and again, the reason this resonated with me so much, I've never put it to words or I've never coined the phrase, but this is something that I did on moneylab.co. And I've removed a lot of the stuff that I did, but when I was designing and building moneylab.co, it's packed with Easter eggs. Like that's in my head. I was like, I want to pack this thing full of Easter eggs and I want to, I really do care about every single thing and how it looks on every single device, and all of those things are super important to me. And the fact that I never thought, like I always thought this would be great if someone found it, it would delight them great. You know what I mean? Like that was kind of my thing. In fact, I'll give you one example. So there's an Easter egg on Money Lab, and I don't even know if you can see it or if it's even there anymore. I might have taken it down. And this is so stupid. But enough people reached out to me about it because they found it. When I coded the site, I like to separate my sections with HTML comments. These are things that you would only, it's text that you could only see if you look at the code, right? And so I would put like, you know, the header or the whatever, like I would put these little like separators in the code just for organization for myself as a developer. But for MoneyLab, I just decided to put the F word into every single one. So, for example, it would say, here's the fucking header, or this is the motherfucking footer, or whatever it is. So I would just put that, and it was just kind of like an inside, like, I'm like, no one's going to read this, and I was just kind of bored. Well, or not bored, but I was, when I was doing it, I was like, oh, this is funny to me. But enough people in my space check my code and go, oh, you like, this is hilarious. You added the F word to all of these comments. Now, I didn't think it was, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And I was like, oh, I'm glad somebody found that. It's kind of funny. But what I didn't think was, like, one step further is that if somebody were to find stuff like this, it could result in backlinks because I could be used as an example of this. Or someone finds something that delights them and they happen to be, like, they happen to talk about websites or whatever the case. And this happened when I, like, this is, I don't know if this counts as Super Pixels as an idea, but I had this page on MoneyLab, but it's still there. It's called moneylab.co/email, and it was one of the first pieces of content that I ever wrote. And the content is essentially about the email pop-ups when it was like really annoying. There was like a lot of people that were using these WordPress plugins. Like, I don't even know if it exists anymore, but Noah Kagan had a plugin, not AppSumo. Maybe it was just called Sumo. It was a WordPress plugin and it had like all these different pop-ups, and it was like so ubiquitous in our space for a period of time back in, like, I think 2016, that it was annoying me. And I was like, all right, I'm going to make a tongue-in-cheek version of this page where I'm basically just begging people for their email address and annoying them with pop-ups. And it got, like, that page in about 48 hours resulted in about 1,600 emails. And it basically built the MoneyLab audience because it was a joke, but people were subscribing because they're like, what am I going to get? There's other things where I had, I used to have like just these little extra things on the website that maybe added more value to the reader or was just an interesting way of doing something. And so with that thought, or with that concept in mind, this is something I really have never done for Swim University. It's something that I've done and I appreciate. But for Swim University, I kind of just thought, like, no one's going to really care if I kind of go above and beyond and do some, like, cool, interesting things that are brand-specific or niche-specific. And I've already come up with one stupidly simple idea. I'm going to call it a Super Pixel, but it's definitely not going to get talked about. Like, no one's going to care. But it's that very brand specific. So I have a responsive site, and when it's on a mobile device, and you see this on every single site, you get the hamburger, which is like three lines. And universally, we kind of now all know that if you click that, those three little lines, it opens up a menu. It opens up the navigation menu on a mobile device. So it just saves space and navigation. So something I was like, I think there's like two categories of this. There's simple implementation, and then there's like incredibly, you know, there's maybe some middle ground, and then incredibly complex and like, you know, long form, maybe it would require a developer to do and not just something I can do. But in this particular case, it's very simple. So that hamburger icon, I could just change to my actual logo icon, which is three waves. And it's like, no one's going to write about that. And it might even be confusing, but it's the only other icon on the navigation. So I doubt it would be confusing. And so adding that little extra, like, oh, usually it's three lines. We all understand that. This time it's three waves, which is related because it's pools. Okay. I'm hoping that little tiny example kind of paves the way for what I'm talking about. Another simple example could be, you know, I used to have this set up, and I don't have it set up anymore. I actually took it down. But and I think I can come up with something more clever. So I actually did this. I did a similar thing on MoneyLab. There is a 404 page on MoneyLab. Very, very few people have found it. In fact, I would say maybe one or two people have found it and said something about it publicly, meaning like on Twitter or something. Like, oh my God, I just found this page. Like, this is amazing. So it's not amazing by any means. But what it is, the 404 page on MoneyLab, and you can go check it out, basically get to it just by typing in gibberish after my URL. And I think the reason no one's found it is because look, MoneyLab doesn't have that many pages, so it's very easy for me to keep, you know, 404s from happening. But, you know, in case somebody has a fat finger or is trying to find a page on my website and they type something wrong and they end up finding it, you know, here it is. What the 404 page there is, it's a blog post about 404, the actual error code. And I go into detail explaining where the number 404 came from. And if you read it, it sounds boring, but it's I tried to make it very funny. So I don't know. I would go check it out. On Swim University, I used to have a 404 page that was a picture of a family. I found like a stock photo of this family all dressed up in like pool clothes or like about to go to the beach kind of attire, but they all look really sad. And I wrote, sorry, the pool is closed. You know, you came to the pool expecting to find something and it turns out something, whatever. And that was sort of my like trying to be a cute 404 page. Right now, my 404 page says, yeah, we can't find what you're looking for. And then it gives you links to other pages. So it's a useful 404 page, but it's not a interesting, fun 404 page. And quite frankly, like, is it even worth doing? If you believe in the idea of super pixels, then yes, even the most mundane thing to you is probably worth doing, because all it takes is one person to find something interesting on your website like this or discover something cool. Perhaps it's even somebody like Glenn who then shares it on Twitter or puts it in his course or writes about it on his website or whatever. Like, that is a very easy backlink to get. Now, that's not just backlinks, but it also instills kind of like trust through personality. For example, like if I'm clever or I make a little joke, that people are going to look at that and go like, haha, that's cool. I like this company. Like, it's just, you're just immediately the cool website, right? So it's like, I think obviously you don't want, you know, there's a balance, I think, between sort of confusing people. You know, you don't want to confuse anyone, but you just want to like surprise and delight a few people who are in on it, right? Or again, for me with Swim University, I think it's really easy to just think about the pool industry as a whole and not just, you know, the like chemistry part of it or the care part of it, but like the lifestyle of owning a swimming pool or just some of the elements of that. And where can I work in little things in the design of the website that could be helpful or that could be cool? Here's another weird example that I don't really, it would be hard to do, but again, it's probably worth doing. In the case of the mobile screen, like I mentioned the little wave icon. So I put that in place. And when you click it, right now there's an animation where it slides out and then you see your buttons. Right? You see your links. Now that mobile screen is hidden unless you click that button. So I can do a lot of things there that I've kind of never thought about, right? Right now it's just a very simple list of links. That's it. right? It's not interesting whatsoever. But perhaps I turn it into something more interesting. Like maybe there's an animation that like floods the screen, meaning like there's waves that kind of come up from the bottom. I could create some sort of CSS animation that would do that. So instead of just a simple slide, a slide in and out, I could do something that makes it look like your pool is being filled up. And then there's your screen, right? That screen could also be designed differently. I've never really considered that screen to be all that important because, again, it's just somebody's just trying to get to things really fast. But what if that one screen, which fills up your entire mobile device, actually looked good and had a good design to it and a feel to it on a mobile device? That, even though it's really not that crazy, could get talked about. Like I could, maybe if I sit down and, you know, really think about how I want that screen to look, because again, there's not that many links, so I could get really creative with, you know, how you click it or whatever. Maybe all the icons are like in this floating pattern. Who knows? And it's just like a kind of just animated and cool. I don't know. That's something that I could figure out. But I think, so again, I've already wrote the top of my whiteboard here, super pixels. And then I'm just going to brainstorm some ideas that I think I could implement relatively fast. And I think there might be things that I think of, right? And then I'm like, oh, that would be awesome, but would take, you know, I would have to hire a developer or it would take a really long time. And, you know, depending on how long something will take, I'll be like, is it worth it? You know, like in a perfect world, I would like to kill the multiple birds with the one stone thing, right? That's kind of been my theme this year for some reason. I don't know why. But in the case of the mobile screen idea I just mentioned, the mobile navigation screen, I believe that that's not only is that something I can make unique and interesting, but also it would be incredibly helpful and a better user experience for the visitor, right? So I could, I'll just write improve mobile nav, right? Something super interesting, not super interesting actually, kind of mundane, but if I almost treat it like an app, I could treat it like an app where it's like, oh, I understand how to use this because it looks like my app screen or something on a phone. Or I could try to figure out a way to shoehorn, you know, a pool theme into it or something, right? Another thing, I don't know how, right now, the footer of my website, yes, there is, it's got a wave pattern and it's got bubbles in the background. Like it's designed, it's not static or ugly, but who cares, right? That's like not really that cool. Like anybody could do that. But could I do like one of the things I did on the footer? And again, I have a lot more examples of MoneyLab than I do at SUNY Diversity, which is why I'm trying to like take some of the creative energy that I put towards MoneyLab and throw it at SUNY Diversity and see if it sticks or see if it's worth doing. So in the case of MoneyLab, in the footer, instead of the classic copyright 2014, all rights reserved, whatever you normally say at the bottom of a website, I wrote that, and then I wrote, in other words, don't steal my shit. So it was the same thing. I just added an element of my personality into that website. As you can tell, cursing to me is an easy laugh. So I'm kind of a hack, but there you go. But yeah, no one else had said that. Now, what's interesting about that specific example, so many people who had followed me ended up taking that almost verbatim every single time. Maybe they would like, somebody would say, don't steal my stuff. And I'm like, come on. Like, look, am I the first person and only person to think of that? Probably not, but most likely. So whatever. That's a grudge I hold with the internet. I don't know, though, what I would put in Swim University. Right now, it's kind of lame. It just says, made with heart emoji from Colorado. That I took from a billion other websites. The heart is yellow, so it matches the theme a little bit better. But it has nothing to do with pools. It has... I could use that... it also attributes Swim University to Colorado, which I would say notoriously has a lot fewer pools than other states that I could have picked. But again, who really gives a shit what state we're in nowadays because everyone's remote? So I kind of feel like that's a spot where I could easily throw something in that, I don't know, maybe had a better brand or helps us a little bit more. Like, for example, I could say a family-owned business since 2006, or because that's true, or like built by a husband, wife, and brother, something like that. I could play around with that. I don't know, but I don't have anything there, but I think certainly the Colorado thing kind of makes no sense. A better use of that space would be to kind of play up the family-owned business thing. Now, I think, personally, the family-owned business thing is important for trust building. I could be wrong about that. I've kind of flip-flopped. I used to think, you know, putting our origin number, meaning we've been around since 2006, I always felt like that was more trustworthy because I've seen, you know, you see that with McDonald's, you see that with all these other, it's not McDonald's, but you see like, you know, since 1950 or whatever a business would say. And I always thought like, look, we've been around in internet years for a pretty damn long time, but I just don't think anyone really cares about 2006, it's in the 2000s. I think if there was a 19 in front of it, it may skew things a little bit different, but I almost feel like it's not worth, as a trust builder, I don't think it has that great of an impact. I used to also say, as an example, and I still say it now, but it's like, our chemicals are made in the United States. But more and more, I'm thinking that's great for those people who are like, yeah, keep it in America. But we are also the country that makes like the worst fucking chemicals. So I don't, it's like, or like, we're just like, yeah, there's no regulation on chemicals. Just dump anything in the soil kind of country. You know, it's like even Europe's like, no Monsanto. So, I mean, not that we're the same, but you get my point. So I don't know exactly what to put there, but I know it's not Colorado. Is there anything else in the footer? Actually, I will say that I have like, these are little things, but I don't think they matter, but I could go and, you know, do the same thing with the comments where I add in little, you know, messages to people who see that are like kind of like pool puns or pool related things. The 404 page, again, is another example, another easy example I could do. Now, as far as the pool 404 page, the one idea I had, which it seems a little risque, but something along the lines of like, you know, who peed in the pool, like someone pooped in the pool, someone peed in the pool, you know, like now everyone's got to get out, you know, sort of the Caddyshack joke. Feels like kind of played out and done before. I'm sure people would find it interesting. The pool being closed, I don't like anything that sort of like stops somebody in their tracks. and says like, oh no, like we're, the site's down kind of thing. It just should be more, I guess, tongue in cheek. Like, you know, could it be like, I'm thinking in the past, I've done things in the past that I've sort of taken offline that maybe I could reintroduce. For example, what I'm talking about is that I did an infographic a long time ago, and it was called 50 Ways to Jump into a Pool. And I designed it, and I came up with, you know, like you did the standard ones, jackknife, cannonball, you know, I don't know, other ways to jump into a pool. They're on the list. I went through all the normal ones. And then I think there was only like 10 normal ones I could find. I had to come up with like 40 different like insane jumps. There was like the rock star with a pool noodle. There was the Quidditch where you just put like a pool noodle between your legs. There was like things that were like literally impossible to do. And it was sort of a joke. But maybe I could take something like that where it now serves no other purpose, you know, as just being an infographic, but maybe I could incorporate it on my site as a, you know, kind of a fun 404 page. It's like, hey, you know, I don't know. It's like, hey, you know, this page doesn't exist, but now that you're here, here's 50 different ways you can jump into a pool, et cetera, and build a site around that. It doesn't seem that cool, but I'm just thinking out loud, outside the box, like maybe I could use stuff that I've already done. Another thing that I've done that may be more relevant is I've done like ways to conserve water with a pool as an infographic, and I never actually turned it into content. I mean, it used to be, but I've since removed a lot of content off our site that felt kind of irrelevant to the person we were serving. So I do have like a lot of old content that I could repurpose for these fun little things. I don't know. The 404 page, they didn't find what they were looking for. It's sort of like the thing. It's like, oh, you land on a page and this page doesn't exist. And okay, got it. Here, all right, thinking outside the box. Here's what I could do. So I just said the phrase, this page doesn't exist. You know what else doesn't exist? There is a chemical that you see in a lot of movies where if you pour the chemical in your pool and someone pees in it, you get this blue dye effect around the body so that you can pinpoint who the culprit is. That chemical also does not exist. But people don't actually know that. So that could be a fun fact to align with the 404 page. Like, hey, this page doesn't exist. You know what else doesn't exist? That chemical that you add to your pool. But, you know, maybe we'd go down a whole rabbit hole where, you know, I don't know, we come up with something. In fact, one of the ideas that I had in life was to develop a empty bottle with a label and to sell an empty bottle with a label, by the way. This would be something I could give out that was just had like a, you know, the pool urine detector or whatever. So basically create this chemical, but it doesn't exist. There's nothing in the bottle. It's empty. It's an empty bottle. But parents could fill the bottle up with water, right? Or, you know, if they wanted to, they could add, you know, blue food coloring to it or whatever. Because if you pour in a little bit, it's not going to affect the color of your pool. And it's water safe. It's completely fine. It's edible. So, and then have parents pour that chemical in front of their kids while they were swimming and say like, look what I'm putting in. And it's sort of like it's like, you know, an owl on top of your house. It's a scarecrow. So that could be something I could do where I actually, man, hold on. I already love this idea. Because it kind of serves two purposes. One, It's related to a 404 page that doesn't exist. Two, it could also be a sales pitch for a product that I would probably not put out for sale. But I could get a couple of bottles made and actually ship it to customers if they end up finding this page and buying it. So that's my idea. I'm just going to call it 404 urine bottle. If anyone comes in here and sees the things that I read on this board, especially that 404 urine bottle, they're like, what are you doing? Where am I? I'm going to call the police. All right. So that is an idea I love because it kind of blends the digital and physical world for me, and I can get excited about it because it's like I'm inventing something. It's novel. I've never seen it done before. I could even make the argument that it might be the first 404 page that actually sells a secret product. I don't know. It could be a fun thing to talk about. And if I design the shit out of it, it could be kind of cool. And, you know, I'd sell it for, you know, I wouldn't make any money at it, but if it goes viral, then I doubt it. Nothing in the pool industry goes viral, by the way. So what else do we have? So I'm just thinking of the site in general. Everything just feels kind of the way it should be, but not interesting. So like I just worked on the about page and it's just an about page. It's like every other about page. There's nothing about it. And then we can just talk about it for a second. Yes, if you go to it, it's unique. It's like it's well designed, I guess. And, you know, I tried. I think I could do better. So if I were to brainstorm just like the about page and what I would do differently to make that page even more unique, I guess few things I'm thinking out loud. Let me just think out loud. Putting customer testimonial videos on that page. I think might be interesting, and especially if it's designed in a certain way. And then you have a bunch of these like individual videos you can play. Another one I could do is I could do like a I could do a bunch of before and after all right, so just something I'm thinking about. I have a lot of, and I can get this information very fast. People have sent me their before and after photos. So like a picture of their pool that was green to a picture of their pool that is clear, thanks to the information they got from our website, YouTube channel, or course. What I could do is build a section of the about page that showcases these before and after images, but maybe in a more interactive way. Maybe when you hover over them, it changes the photo. Maybe there's slider bars that, you know, change the photo that mask one photo to the next. That could be interesting. I'm not 100% sold on that idea because I do like putting more customer testimonial and social proof forward. But I kind of feel like that is more done for like a beauty product. Although I could make the argument that maybe we are a beauty product because we are turning pools beautiful. I'm going to write that down. I'm just going to write down making pools beautiful because I've never really thought about that before. Maybe there's something I could do there. Okay. I'm just going to write, I'm going to write before, after, pool, photo, slider. I like the idea of the slider because it feels more interactive than just hovering. And it's like, you know, it's clickable or whatever. That's kind of interesting. I think adding the this is something I think I should have done. I think I'd removed it because it fell out of place, but I could design it better. Adding rap video. I have a rap video that I made for Swim Universe for the like just for pool care, and I used to have it on my about page, and I took it off because somebody said it felt out of place, and I agreed with them. But I think it was just because I just kind of threw it in with no context, and I think designing something, perhaps even its own page. Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought to do that. So I actually do have, on our YouTube channel, I have a rap video that I still think is good. It's, even though it's dated, it still slaps. It's still a rap video. It's still catchy as hell. A lot of people haven't seen it. I also have a behind the scenes video that I don't think anyone's ever seen. I wonder if it's even still on our YouTube channel. I may have taken it down, but I could put it back up I'm sure I have it somewhere. I could put it back up as a private video and then just embed it on a page where I just, you know, swimuniversity.com/, pool care wrap or something. And then just have this like kind of Easter eggy page where it showcases the video. It has okay. I mean, this is like, again, I'm back to like repurposing old content and using it for super pixels. I mean, I guess that maybe not a super pixel, is more like, it's more just content based. But I'm not going to write pool care. Oh, I spelled that wrong. How? It's four letters. Wrap landing page. I mean, something I could do. Adds another page to my website that is pool related. So take that. How I would link to it, I'd probably link to it from the about page. So... maybe some people down a little bit of a rabbit hole. So one thing I did think about, and this is something that we now like, okay, here's something I did at Swim University this is something I did at Money Lab, but the idea, the concept of it, there may be some way to use it. So I forget who gave me this idea. I don't remember who gave me this idea. But Money Lab was a series of experiments, essentially. That was kind of, you know, I wanted to only do experiments, and then I sort of evolved to like just plain articles and challenges, which I thought were different than experiments. But somebody had given me the idea to say you should let people know if the experiment passed or failed or was neutral, and like kind of have that at the top of your pages. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a kind of a cool idea. So I created a custom field for those posts, and I would be able to choose if it passed, if it failed, or if it was meh is what I put. And then I had a little icon, a little circle icon that would appear in the, like the content thumbnail. So like if you were on my website, you could just quickly scan all my posts and see, oh, like that, that one failed or that one passed. Like I'm going to click on it. Now I removed it because I thought, well, who the hell's going to read the failed ones? like I'm literally just, it's literally just putting like, please don't read this button in the thumbnail. Or, you know, I guess you could make the argument that like, oh, it's intriguing. Like I want to, how did it fail? But that idea that I could do something, I could label a post something and show some sort of icon that delineates something is interesting, right? So for me at Swim University, like it could be, you know, like the simplest one I can think of is just like, is this for pool or hot tub? Although that says it in the title, so it would be redundant. An example could be, does it have a video or not associated with it, right? So I could throw a little icon in it that says like, this has a video, okay? There's, you know, so there is that. Which I don't know if, you know, that would make sense if people would be like, oh cool, it's got a video with it, like it makes me want to click it more, but perhaps it, perhaps so, just a thought. I'm not really buying it. You know, does it, you know, one of the things that I want to do that maybe semi-related is now that I have a podcast, I have two podcasts technically, what I wanted to do was create a sort of a hoverable, like a thing that followed you on the webpage that was like, hey, this, the article that you're reading, especially on mobile, this has an audio version to it. So if you just click the button, it would, you could start listening to the article essentially, as opposed to reading it. The reason I've been hesitant to do that, although it would be very easy to do, the reason I'm hesitant to do that is more of a, like that one in particular could be a conversion killer, because if somebody lands on a website or a web page that talks about a specific topic and they'd rather just listen, well, then they're going to miss out on my links to things, my affiliate links, watching the video, and, you know, it could end up hurting the site more than it does actually help the reader. And, you know, and I don't know how many people, like if I were to do a survey, would rather listen to an article than just read it. I would imagine more people would either prefer to watch a video or read, especially those people who are at work that can't listen to audio. Whereas like you can watch a video and you can read an article and nothing is playing out loud, because people work in offices and don't want them to think that they're not doing their job. But let's face it, literally everybody does that. I made a bold statement that I'm saying literally, but I think it's true. So, but that thought there is like, is there, you know, something I can put on a post that's like, maybe it's easy, intermediate, hard kind of thing? Is there a pool related thing? I don't know. I don't see anything that we could add there that feels like it would be valuable to the user and would also help the site and would also be considered something that is a unique way of doing things. So, like, for example, a lot of people at the top of their websites will put how long the reading time is. And I've always thought that that's a conversion killer, because I don't want you to know how long, because then you probably won't read it if it's too long. If, even if it's like 5 minutes, you're like, I don't have 5 minutes. And it's like, well, no, it's 5 minutes. Like, come on. So putting that at the top of a web page to me feels like, oh, it seems convenient and it's nice to have, but is it actually giving you the results that you want in your business? I think I have it at the top of Money Lab, but again, I wasn't making any money. I was respecting people's time, if anything, but I wasn't making any money from the posts themselves. So to me, it was more of a, you should know this. But again, that's not a super pixel, because that's easy to do. Anybody can do that. I think it's actually built into WordPress now. You can just put a piece of code in at the top and there you go. And that's sort of similar to table of contents, where it's, you know, is that something you could do that would be interesting? Like, for example, I guess going back to that idea of the little dot at the bottom of a post that kind of sticks with you, especially on a, and maybe this only exists on mobile, where we don't actually put the table of contents in the post itself, which to me always felt like you were just creating a blocking point or maybe like a checkpoint for people. And you know, meaning you really want to lure people in with your copy, right? And then have them read the post instead of giving them jump points. But in the case of Swim University, as a specific example, I just don't think that people, the way that they consume our content, is they're just reading the post from start to finish. I think a lot of people just want one single piece of information. And if there were a table of contents, perhaps that would help them. The other thing that I think would be interesting and perhaps fits more with what we want to do is, all right, this feels like a better idea. So yeah, we could, when you're on mobile specifically, we could put a table of contents button in the corner. So when you click the little button in the corner, it would pop up a table of contents where they could, you know, and it would just fill like half the screen. They could click it and it would, you know, just jump to that section, right? It's not a terrible idea. It would be very helpful. I've not really seen it done very well. I don't think I've ever seen it, if I'm being honest. So it would be something probably worth doing. However, what would be more business aligned is if we use that button, that real estate, for something that actually maybe makes us money. Whereas, yes, jumping around is a good user experience if people click it. You know, it's like, oh, click it. Oh, maybe it's intuitive. They understand something, right? Where they click the button and they're like, oh, okay, like this is moving me around. I like this, etc. I don't think that would be as intuitive, but maybe if the button said something like, you know, and it was animated, kind of like distracting you a little bit, almost like a notification on a phone. Maybe if you clicked it, a pop-up would come up where you could enter in your information to get our free cheat sheet, right? So it's more of a lead magnet or a more lead-focused thing. The problem with that, though, is it does kill convert. It kills maybe the trust a little bit, because it's like I'm being distracted by this thing that's like you just want my email address. And maybe this is my first time on your website and I'm trying to read something and I got distracted by this button and I have ADD. So I clicked it and now I'm like entering my email address and I want to go back to that article I was reading. So it does take you away from that experience, but it may be worth testing both versions. Like maybe you test a table of contents versus a, you know, lead magnet getter, who knows, or a lead or an email getter. But I think the little button at the bottom corner of a mobile, of like somebody reading on mobile, or even having like a full bar at the bottom that has different things you can click. So maybe it's not just one little button, you know, in the bottom right corner, let's say. Maybe it's a whole bar, as if you were reading, you know, on an app, although that could get confusing with the other things that are there visually. But yeah, you could add multiple things. You could have the cheat sheet, you could have table of contents, you could have multiple things, right? But I like that idea of having something there. I've always liked that idea, so maybe I just test different things, and maybe different pages have different things. Who knows? So I could try it on a page, on like one page, and see if, and just like kind of measure, like record. I use Crazy Egg, and I can record the screen and see if anybody ends up clicking it, and seeing what they do. I don't know. See if they actually use it, if they understand it, or if they don't. I don't know. So it's definitely something to do. I wish I had an example of somebody else doing something similar, but I think it's better that I don't, because then I can just kind of come up with something unique. And I think at the end of the day, what is it that someone's trying to get from my article, right? They're trying to learn something. They're trying to learn a piece of information. And so I think simply from a trust usability standpoint, the table of contents feels like a better use of that space from simply a trust factor. But I don't know if there's an icon that's good enough that would, you know, help with that. Maybe it's a little help icon. Maybe it's like, you know, similar to the little icon for Intercom, where, at that rate, you could just use Intercom, but, or something like Help Scout, where you add a little thing at the bottom and it becomes a chat bot, or it's me and it's customer service, but that could get out of hand very fast. Or it could be you click it and it's maybe it could be an Easter egg, right? It could be something completely delightful. Who knows? It could be like, I don't know. This is just, I'm just making shit up here. It could be like an underwater view where you click it and like, you know, the things you're just on. Oh, wait, this reminds me of something. I did this before. I implemented it. Holy shit. Why can't I remember what it was? So we had a feature, and I think I built it on Lasso. I did. Hold on a second. On Lasso, when I was building Lasso, when I was building the sales page for that, I had an idea, or maybe it was something I was doing with Jason. Maybe it was Spruce. Might have been Spruce Metrics. There was an idea that I had maybe it wasn't even my idea. It could have been Jason's idea, Jason Zook. Oh, man, I wish I remembered what the heck it actually was. I remember it was a sales page messaging changer. And it was more of an Easter egg than anything else. So it had to be something I did with Jason, because that was definitely something he would have done or he would have thought of. And the idea was you could change the avatar of who the sales page was written towards or for. It was a tone changer. So it changed the tone of the sales page. I think it was and this was for a joke. So I don't like, yes, it was I think it might have been our actual sales page, but, and I forget why we did it, but I'm not that this is important to Bassoon University by any means, but it's just kind of like
getting the juices flowing a little bit. I'm already an hour into this, and I only have a handful of ideas, but, you know, I think this needs to be split up into multiple episodes. The idea was, it was a tone changer. We had, like, you could pick robotic, you could pick aggressive, you could pick, like, emotional. And I think what it would do is just, it would just change all of the copy on the page to a completely different copy that fit how you want it to read something or how you want it to be sold to. I think that that was the gist of it. And I can't remember why that we thought we weren't selling. I mean, I could see that being something interesting if you were selling like a website optimizer where, you know, it's like, hey, you can optimize your website with this tone changer. And now with AI, I mean, you could just kind of rearrange it. But thinking of that idea that if you click this button, the website changes in some way. And I would think, you know, like it could be as simple as like light mode, dark mode, right? That could just be something fun. Or in my case, I just mentioned like an underwater mode where, you know, maybe it just, you know, waves come up and it just throws it through a blue filter. Like as stupid as that sounds, or it gets wavy and it's impossible to read. And it's like, why? That's feels stupid and meaningless. You know, maybe it's a tool. Maybe it's a, maybe it's a pool, you know, like we have this pool volume calculator that I built. Maybe it always just links to that. Maybe that's a pop-up. So like, hey, if you need to know how many gallons your pool is, you know, I don't know. It feels like not necessary on every page, but you know, could it be, and this is thinking really outside the box, could it be like just one piece of information, like distilled? Like, could it be a shortcut button? Essentially, like we have this super long article about, you know, like we have this long article about should you add, and this is an example, like should you add Epsom salt to a hot tub, because that was a phrase people were searching. And in our title, we basically give the answer, but which is no, but the article is long, you know, it has like, you know, it has to be long for SEO. But if you click the button, we could just be like, if you just want the answer, which we answer at the very top. So I guess this is not that good of an idea because we always answer the question and then we go into detail. But yeah, I'm trying to think like what would be useful to somebody like reading an article of ours and going like, man, I wish X, I wish this was easier to understand, or I wish, you know, it's like, I'm not going to change the text because that would be like writing two articles for every article where it's like, oh, we wrote like a fifth grade version and a 12th grade. It's like, we don't really need to do that. But table of contents seems to be the thing that makes maybe the most sense on mobile only. And I guess we could have it in desktop because why not? I mean, it'll exist. So I can't think of anything else besides like, yeah, being a lead magnet capture, which, you know, I know there's like other things, like we could do little stupid animations around the website where when you click something or hover over something, like Jason was really big when we were doing, I forget which project we were working on, but he was really kind of adamant about having all these little elements. And we had done, I think, interesting hover animations on our buttons, right? And that is, like, I have hover animations on our buttons, but they're only animations to make it look like it's a button. It's all it does is, like, it looks like the button's being pressed down on. That's it. Now, it doesn't work on mobile. It only works on desktop because there is no hover on mobile. But, you know, something I can think of would be, like, you know, maybe the bubble that we use for our button, you know, it's an oval shape, a pill shape. Maybe when you hover over it, it fills up with water, you know, like I'm sure there's a really simple CSS animation that I can implement there. And yeah, it can still have the drop shadow and the hover down. It just does all three. So it's just like, wow, this is really interesting. But I think I've seen that done. I don't think it's that unique. And also, like, it's not interesting, I think. It's not like, again, I think it's just an animation and not newsworthy or worth talking about. I think I could get a little better with our homepage copy. I think our headline is still pretty weak, even though we just changed it. I'm like, I can do better. I used to have a headline on Roasty. I don't know if they still use it. I'd actually have to go to roastycoffee.com. Actually, I have my laptop right here. I'm going to go look. I doubt they still use it, but if they do, it's a testament to how good the headline is. And I did not write it. Actually, I know the person who did. The person who wrote it was Jim Wang. Let's see. Whoa, they are still using it. Okay, Jim Wang. Yeah, so on Roasty Coffee, brew coffee so good it'll make a hipster cry. That was an idea that was given to me by Jim, and I was like, that's brilliant. I even animated, I drew a cartoon, or maybe Steph drew a cartoon of a hipster with a teardrop, like, you know, holding a cup of coffee. I think that was like, you know, V1, like one of the first things I ever did on the site. But the fact that they're still using that headline speaks to how good that headline is. Like, that is A+ copywriting. I feel like, unfortunately, with Swim University, we are kind of in this limbo that we're sort of messing around with, where we try to accommodate both pool and hot tub owners, even though a vast majority of our visitors are pool owners. And I keep trying to find this balance between highlighting pool content and hot tub content. And it makes it really difficult to write headlines on pages that appeal to both. And I think I kind of need to either come up with something better, because I always have to use the word, you know, the word is pool, but I always have to come up with pool or hot tub. I have to say that, which feels like, well, now you're not specific. You're not talking to me. You're talking to like these two different audiences. And when anyone references me on the internet, they always reference me as the pool guy. Like, oh, he's a pool expert. Even though our website talks about hot tubs as well. But what I think we should start doing is basically making our headlines for pool owners and then just having sub copy that includes hot tub owners as well. And so the idea of brew coffee so good it'll make a hipster cry, we could get funny or at least charming or intriguing or interesting with our headline on our homepage and have a very specific call to action that could be a little bit better. And that would be something worth figuring out. But I don't think I have time to do that today. So, but yeah, I think that's something that we certainly need to be, I think, a little bit more focused on. And yes, we have products to sell in the hot tub space, but they are certainly secondary, and people will find those. And we do have separate cheat sheets for those people. And that, you know, we have articles that rank and those things are fine. But yeah, as far as, all right, that's interesting. So, all right, I'll wrap it up here because I think this is going to be, I mean, I could take every single page of my website and think of a new thing, and this would be worth doing for sure. So that this is sort of, I'll call it this. This particular episode is, you know, we'll say it's about super pixels. It's sort of site-wide. It's, you know, easy. I'll say like easy super pixels, introducing anyone who hasn't heard of it to the concept. I I've not said his last name because I'm so bad. I butcher last names constantly. But the person who came up with this concept is, and the way that I always kind of pronounce it in my head was Glenn Alsop. And I'm hoping that I got that right. I'm just going to, yeah, quickly look and see if I can, yeah. I mean, I hope I got that right, Glenn. But I know you're not listening, but if by any means anybody tells you, the site is detailed.com. The course that this came from is called SEO Blueprint. And I was told about the concept by a mutual friend of ours, Sean Ogle. So as soon as I heard him say it, I was like, oh, hell yeah. I could brainstorm shit like that for forever. And here I am for the last 2 months trying to come up with ideas to improve content from more of a content perspective, but not from a like unique design usability perspective. So that's like a whole new way that I can approach how to, one, improve content, but two, when I was thinking about all these like unique ways to build backlinks, I was always thinking about it from a content perspective. And when I say content, I mean text. Because when it comes to video, I think my pool care wrap, when that came out, got me a lot of backlinks. But here's the thing, so what I didn't even think of until now, but again, like I could just think of this shit all day. I have that asset that I've been sitting on. There is 100,000 people on my email list who have definitely never seen that video. Like, have not seen it because it is buried in the avalanche of YouTube videos that we've since created. And it doesn't rank. But if I put a new page together and I send it out as like, hey, get ready for pool season. Here's my rap video. Don't tell them when I made it. Who gives a shit when I made it? You know, embed it on a page. That could breed a whole new level of like backlink pro, you know, for all the pool companies that follow me are like, holy shit, I didn't even know this was a thing. I'm going to share this on my Facebook page. I'm going to share this on my, you know, Instagram. I'm, you know, maybe somebody in my audience has, I don't know, a website that's, they want to link to it, or who knows? I don't know who's out there, but it's certainly worth sharing that piece of content with my audience again in a more designed way, because why the hell not? That's kind of what I'm good at. When Sean said that word to me, I was like, I know what you're talking about, and I'd be fucking great at that. Like, I could do that shit all day. It's way easier for someone like me to do and think about the idea of super pixels rather than, I got to come up with this unique content angle so that journalists will look at my stats and write about me. And it's like, so boring. So boring. But, you know, I do have a lot of stats. In fact, motherfucker. All right, I'm not done yet. Hold on a second. Sorry that this is long. And I know a lot of people don't listen all the way to the end. I have... Fuck, I'm so mad about this. I have an infographic, right? That's...
about, like, it's like pool statistics. It's just like, it's something that I created, I want to say like in 2012 or 2013. And I still have the infographic. I designed it. I did all the research. And it was just like, how many pools are there in the United States? And, you know, how many people pee in a pool? Like, all these like weird statistics that I could find, right? And I just put them all into an infographic. And of course, that was in an effort to get backlinks because I had shared it around. And, you know, this is like kind of right at the, like, not even like the good era of social media, kind of like the in, like the intro of it, right? Because I guess like Twitter was like 2007. So this was like, well, almost like, you know, 5 years later, but still, I kind of still feel like early adopting land. However, now I'm like, I could not do an infographic and instead kind of do what I thought about doing at MoneyLab, where MoneyLab, I had these like interesting, I created these interesting pages where, and I can tell you all of them, I think. So like there's swimuniversity.co, or sorry, there's moneylab.co/email, which is my email marketing page. There's moneylab.co/timeline. Now, these are all posts, by the way, like on WordPress, but they just have a very specific template attached to them. So the timeline one is an animated timeline of my entire career up until I stopped updating that timeline. So then I have like one that's called, I think it's moneylab.co/work. And it was this idea that I had where I, it was called co-work with me was the idea. And I, the idea came from, there was a video, a viral video where Nick Offerman was drinking Lagavulin. It was a commercial for Lagavulin Scotch, but it was a Yule Log video where it was like an hour long and it was just Nick Offerman sitting by a fire, sipping Lagavulin Scotch. And I thought, that's awesome, right? So I did one called Co-Work With Me, where I created a 20-minute video that had a timer on it to represent the Pomodoro technique, which is, I think, in 20-minute increments. And it was just 20 minutes of me at a coffee shop working. That's it. So, you know, I did that. Thomas Frank did a version where it was study with me, and he did a version where you would study because he had a his site at the time, or his brand at the time was College Info Geek. So those are things that exist on MoneyLab, which certainly got me backlinks. Like, not that I set out to like email everybody about it, but, you know, or email a bunch of journalists about it. But yeah, if you find those pages, they're unique. There's another one where that was like one of my first attempts. It was called Hustlin', and that's a name of a prescription drug where I was kind of like poking fun at hustle culture. And so there's a drug commercial, and then there's an entire page with all the side effects. So you can go read that. I think it's – so it's spelled Hustlin', like insulin, I-N, Hustlin'. Anyway. Yeah, so that's something that I did at MoneyLab all the time. Actually loved doing those pages. Thought they were interesting. Now, provided very little value to, I guess, the MoneyLab audience. But again, if you found something, usually people would include it in their newsletters. Like, there's a lot of, you know, in that space, for sure, there's a lot of cross, I'll say contamination, even though that's the wrong word, cross promotion. whereas I guess I never really thought in the pool industry that that existed, but it certainly does. So anytime I, you know, we publish a lot of videos, we publish a lot of short form videos as well. And there are a lot of pool companies in all over the world. And those pool companies all have social media accounts, all have websites. You know, yeah, they're low DR,
numbers on their website, sure. But when they share that stuff, it is introducing me and the Swim University brand to their audience. And who knows? It could get the attention of those companies, which could potentially become my customers. The thing that I never really thought to do was to take those infographics and turn them into well-designed, interesting pages where that people could link to and could be user, you know, because like infographics don't really work anymore as far as like, you know, it's a big image. Where do you put it? You know, it's not, it really was a bad link building technique, but having that same exact data on a web page is a lot more interesting. Also, I guess something else I've really never thought of is to, is to think about how I could add elements to a page, to a website, to a blog post, I mean, specifically, that are custom, you know, like, one of the things that I used to do, I still do, is, and this is something very simple where, and I talked about this in my, I think it was like my 8 ways to improve SEO through, or to improve content in 2024. And I talked about the idea of adding tools, right? So I have like this short code where if I add the short code anywhere on my website, it will embed a little mini tool where you can calculate your pool's gallonage. Now, every website has this. It's nothing, this is nothing special. But there are little tools that I could add, more interactive elements that I could add to a website or add to a blog post that, you know, no one's really done before. I also could, you know, I was just thinking like there just could be random design elements on a page that you, that it would kind of be shocking to see because it doesn't fit, you know, for example, like I could create a section. It's almost like I could take the infographic stuff that I did and embed it in a blog post that's in a more designed way. That's not just an image, but maybe it's full screen. It has animations attached to it. That's like there's these JavaScript animations, whatever. And it's like it becomes this like custom post type for certain posts. Whether those posts end up ranking or not, it's certainly a lot more interesting to the reader and would be like, and perhaps would maybe get me some press if someone found it. I don't know. There's a lot here. There's a lot here. I haven't even thought about like, there's, I mean, I'm confusing super pixels sometimes in this, even in this conversation with myself, with just good content. You know, like, I don't know how those things are not the same. I mean, they could certainly be the same, but they feel different. Like, for example, I had this idea the other day where, so I've mentioned on the show before, which is surprising to some people, that I do not own a swimming pool. And there is a reason for that. I absolutely could own a swimming pool. And sometimes I think, wow, wouldn't it be nice to own a swimming pool? Because then I could just go outside and get all the content I want. But I also teach people how to take care of a pool all day. The last thing that I want to do in my life is to also take care of a pool. And I definitely wouldn't use it as, you know, just wouldn't use it. So I it would just be this like huge pain in the ass in my backyard. And then I only have one pool to ever show anybody. So I'd rather be able to show multiple pools and to make it more brand agnostic across what we do. At least that's my excuse. However, since I don't have a pool, I thought it's really hard for me to test products. Like, we don't do product reviews for a few reasons. One of the biggest reasons is that we really can't test products. For example, like, we can't test, and this would be really difficult to do in general, we can't test a pool filter, because even if we had a pool, right, it's really difficult to just change the filter system. Like, it would be this whole massive to do. And there's so many different filters to test that it becomes like literally impossible, which is why there is no company that actually tests pool equipment. That doesn't exist. No one actually tests it. If anything, all the reviews come from anecdotal experience with being out in the field, where they just interact with these cleaners or these filters, whatever. But one of my ideas was, okay, attaching it to a pool is helpful and it would be amazing if I could do that. It's kind of impossible. So what could I do? Could I build something that where I could test it and just do it at a smaller scale? So for example, we used to have, and this is a bad example, but we used to have in our showroom in one of the stores that I worked at, a plexiglass box, a clear plexiglass box, right? That had an opening at the top. Kind of like think of a square fish tank, right? And it was the size of about a college refrigerator. And you would fill it with water and a cleaner would go inside of it, a robotic cleaner. And we would turn on the robotic cleaner every day and it would just climb the wall and it would filter the water that was in there. So the water was always clear. Every once in a while, we may have to like dose it with a little bit of chlorine, but we really never had to because the water was constantly moving and the cleaner was picking up all the, you know, there was no debris that went in there. It was just water. But it was really cool to see the robotic cleaner in action, right? However, it doesn't show that it actually works. It's not picking up debris. It's just, can it climb a wall? Can it pick up debris, right? But the box was so small that it couldn't do those things. Now, could I build an apparatus, like fairly easily, or I'm sure there's one that already exists and I'm going to build it, where I could fill it with water and test cleaners and run it through this like cleaning cycle where I would throw debris in there, I would have walls, and I would measure all the things that I could do. Like, how long does it last? Does it actually clean? Does it actually climb the walls? Does it actually pick up debris? How much debris can it? Like, I could have all of these factors and I could develop all of these tests, quote unquote, to address these cleaners, and the content of that would be incredibly unique. And no one's ever done it. It would require, you know, something a little larger than a fish tank box, but it wouldn't probably have to be that large. And I could store it, you know, in my garage or even outside during the winter somewhere in a shed, break it out, set it up, and at least test robotic cleaners. I could also test a lot of other things. Like, I could test skimmers, I could test, you know, whatever in it. It could just be, you know, it's like, oh, I could just build a little above ground pool. Yes, except above ground pools don't really have sturdy walls. Although I could probably find, you know, maybe a stock tank pool might work. Actually, that might be the move right there, is just build a little stock tank pool. You know, and that's actually not the worst idea I've had. Do I have a place I could build it permanently? Yeah. Yes, I do. Interesting. Okay. So there's a thought. And then, yeah, with a stock tank pool, I could, you know, test a lot of things. Skimmers, could I test pumps and filters? It's like, there's doesn't really make sense, because Yes, I could. I mean, I would need to run high amperage out to wherever that is. But I could. I could. So, yeah, it's something to think about. Certainly something to think about. But, yeah, that's something like that feels to me like that's more content-based than it is SuperPixel. To me, SuperPixel is like the interesting, like thinking about your website in a interesting light. Anyway, that's long. I apologize for that. If you're still listening, if you got any ideas, shoot me an email, matt@moneylab.co. We will definitely continue this conversation because I am not done, but with the handful of things that I have here, that's a lot to work on. And I think I think I'm definitely doing the waves thing. I'm going to improve the mobile navigation. I'm definitely doing the rap video to about that page because that's super easy. And the last thing on that list is the 404 urine bottle. I am 100% doing that. Like 100% doing that. I know already how to do it, and it would be very easy for me to do. And yeah, that's sick. Okay, cool. So that's it. Matt@moneylab.co. I'll talk to you next time about the same topic. Bye.